Blog Talk Radio.
To the Sword and Shield Show. I'm Catherine Resendez. I'm your host tonight. I hope you'll tune in with us every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time. We're in the Los Angeles, California area. My special guest tonight is going to be a friend, a new friend whom I've met at church and actually attends a different church in the local area where I live. His name is Chad Hoffman. He'll be calling in a few minutes. And I'd like to begin the show with one of my favorite scripture verses, which is found in the book of Hebrews in the Bible, Hebrews 4:16. That says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That speaks of the grace and mercy of God, and that we can come to Him to find grace and mercy whenever we need His help. we need to come to the Lord and ask for the things that we need. He tells us that as his followers, as his children, we are heirs with Christ. He is our Heavenly Father, and he wants to give us good things, and he provides for us everything that we need. He will not necessarily give us everything we ask for, because many times we ask for things that we don't need. Many times we ask for things that could be harmful to us. So as a good father, he will not give us things that he knows are not right for us, because he knows better what we need than we do. Actually, he knows what we need before we do. And so he'll give us the things that we need, but not necessarily everything we want, although he does tell us that if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our hearts. He says, if we delight ourselves in him, and he created us. The Lord God Almighty created us for his pleasure to bring glory to him. And as we are obedient to him and walk in his ways, he will bless us because he rewards obedience. Tonight we're going to talk a little about healing and deliverance, being delivered from such certain things in our life. Have you ever gone through a period where you just felt you needed help, you wanted change in your life, but you didn't know how to achieve it, you didn't know where to go to find the help that you needed? Did you feel stuck, as though you were in a rut? And no matter what you did, no matter how you tried, you continued living in the same patterns, having the same unpleasant things happen to you, and not knowing why? Well, I've been through that. Probably everyone has been through that at some time. I lived through that for a very long period of time, and recently had an experience where the Lord just, I suppose you might say, the light finally went on. I was hearing the same things, probably the same thing I'd heard many times over and over and over again, but I couldn't always receive the things I needed. The Lord was trying to help me all along, but I just was not in a place in my life where I could accept it. But recently something changed for me when I went on a mission trip. I went to South Africa, to Johannesburg. It was basically a pastoral visit. And the pastor of my church needed traveling companions. And I was the one who was led by the Lord to go along with the head pastor and with the director of children's ministries from my church. And basically, I learned something new about myself. It was always there, but I couldn't see it. And if it sounds like I'm talking in about a mystery or not being very clear, it's sort of difficult to explain. But I'm talking about healing or being unburdened. Sort of finally having a weight, a heavy weight taken off me. Many people would say a weight was lifted off their shoulders, but I felt like a heavy burden was taken off my heart. And so that, in a sense, was healing for me. I visited several places in South Africa. I was in Johannesburg and visited some of the towns around, saw the difference in lifestyles and the economic conditions of many of the people. Of course, wherever we go, there are different economic groups, and you can see the rich as well as the poor, and wherever there are people living in the middle class, between the two extremes, you can see evidence of that in the homes that people live in the areas, and the metropolis, the business districts, the malls, shopping malls. And there was a very drastic contrast between the affluent areas and the poor areas. There are still people living in shacks and little huts, and many have no bathrooms, no restrooms, and are just outside the city. And there are hundreds of thousands of people living like that. Then there are others who have jobs, who are working and have homes. There are still others who are wealthy and live in beautiful areas in beautiful homes. But there is a great deal of trouble politically. There's a lot of political unrest and a lot of corruption, unfortunately. Cases where even where there are jobs available, those people, many people, at times are taking advantage and actually selling the positions to people who have money to pay to get the jobs instead of hiring the people who have no money who really need the jobs. And I had an experience where I met someone who worked in the human resource department for a company where she experienced that happened recently. And so tonight we're going to talk about healing in the physical as well as in the spiritual realm. And sort of talk about testimonies. And I'll share a little basically of mine and what the Lord revealed to me there. And so let's see if we can welcome my friend and guest, Chad, to the show.
I'm here, Catherine.
Chad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing really good. About yourself?
Great. I'm doing very well, thank you. And thank you for being my guest tonight on the Sword and Shield Show. I'm really pleased to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, wonderful. So now I was just explaining a little bit about what we're going to talk about tonight. And I guess what I'm going to do is share a bit of a testimony of a different kind, sort of how the Lord unburdened me of something on this mission trip, this basically a pastoral visit with my pastor, of course, and the director of children's ministries from my church. And this is Pastor John Schaefer, First Love Calvary Chapel in Whittier, and Kevin Dominguez, who is the director there in the children's ministries. And we went, as you know, on a trip to South Africa, to Johannesburg, to visit our missionaries there, missionaries from our church, Pastor Chad and Heather Nachtaborn and their four children, and the assistant pastor or pastoral intern, Dion Botma, and his wife, Hannah. And, of course, Hannah was from our church. And we had a happy occasion where we celebrated Hannah's birthday while we were there. And they are all doing a lot of really important work there as missionaries in Johannesburg. They're living in a compound, really protected by concrete walls and electric fence, automatic gates. There is some danger in the area. They're safe in the compound, but they've been there for years, and the Lord has been protecting them. I remember being told that about a week before we arrived at the compound in Johannesburg, the local people were rioting and burning tires in the street. And the reason they were doing that is because of corruption in the government and that they are not taking care of their people. They're not providing for their own. So there's a lot of unrest there, a lot of suffering for the people. And many of them need physical healing of different types for different illnesses, injuries, but also, as we do, they all need spiritual healing. And I was pleased to meet another pastor there and other pastoral interns. And I know that healing ranks very high on the list of topics that are dear to your heart. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I know, Chad, that you have an inoperable brain tumor. And I know that the Lord is sustaining you and maintaining you. I also know someone else personally, a relative, who has the same condition, an inoperable brain tumor. He was very near death just a couple of years ago, maybe two and a half or three years ago now. But he's back at work. He's an electrician. He's doing very well. And as far as I can see, you look great. You sound great and seem to be doing very well. But I know you're praying, and that many people are praying for you, for healing, physical healing. And I wonder if you would share a little bit about that with us. And then I'd like to talk a bit about spiritual healing and unburdening ourselves of things that we have been carrying for a long time. Baggage or, you know, complaints, questions that we need answers to that only the Lord can answer for us or deliver us from. And so will you share a bit about your diagnosis, the brain tumor, what the doctors say, and then I'd like you to tell us what the Lord says, how the Lord is leading you. So I'll give you the floor now and let you speak.
In 2015, April, the doctors at UCLA gave me about 6 months to live with my inoperable brain tumor. They said they were complete with all their treatments and said, basically, go get your affairs in order and go home and relax. And when the time comes for you to pass on, you'll be ready to go. And I said, that's all you're giving me? And they said, yep. I said, I'll put it in prayer and see what the Lord has to say about that, and I thank you guys for what you've done, but I have a better physician who I trust in, and that's one thing I've been learning along the way as I've been, every day it's come to me, every new blessing, and then hearing people say they pray, and I think that's one of the main factors in life, praying and fasting, is, you know, coming to the Lord and praying and asking for petitions for His will to be done, not ours. And when people pray for others or pray for themselves, and it's really heartfelt, and there's no doubt in the faith, in their faith level, and they do pray, I believe those prayers are answered. I believe when you have doubt in your heart, you lack faith. I believe that there's nothing, but as you do pray with that faith, I think the Lord looks upon you and says, "I will grant you that," but it's all in His will too. That's one thing I'm learning as I go along in life with this tumor, as I go every day. Like, I'm 2 weeks away from finishing my first year of Bible ministry school. And along that route, going to school and getting blessed every day to be here with my wife, my kids, my family, my friends, and serving the Lord here on earth, is I've been learning that it really isn't about me. It isn't about me whatsoever. It's all about God. It's about God and surrendering to Him and living for fulfilling His will and not ours. And that comes with complete submission to Him. And that, I think it's hard for every Christian that comes to that terminology, is really submitting themselves to Christ. And, you know, believing, hey, He has the answer for everything. It's not the doctors from UCLA. It's not our friends. It's not what your neighbor has to say. It's what God has for us. And that's what we have to lean on His understanding and getting through. And that's why I've been able to, I feel, with peace and with encouragement and strength to make it through every day, is knowing that I'm not in charge. God is. And this tumor I have, it may take me in the end. I don't know. It may not take me in the end. For I know when Paul was praying for his thorn in his side, and he said that the Lord said His grace was sufficient, that thorn is not what took Paul's life. It was, his life was taken by the Romans. So I could have something else happen to me later on, or live a full life and God takes me. I have no idea what His will is, but I pray every day for it, that I can be used by Him and that I fulfill His will, and making sure that I please Him and Him only. That's something that you learn through hardship, or for some Christians they learn it along the way because they just have that faith, and that's something I commend them for not going through the hardship that most go through, or some go through, and then they find along the way that it is through submission, and when you have that submission, you have an ultimate faith where you believe in anything Christ says and does, and you know that His will is greater than yours. And I think that's a phenomenal thing with anybody. And I know you just got back from South Africa. It's funny because when you talk about the people from South Africa or other third world countries who basically have nothing, they've already come to that terminology of, I have nothing, I submit everything to Christ. That's something that Westerners don't have, and something I didn't have when I became a Christian either. It's something I had to learn along the route.
And it's a very difficult thing to learn sometimes. Sometimes
it is difficult.
Oh, boy. After great suffering, and sometimes it takes some of us longer than others.
Yes,
for different reasons. And one reason may be stubbornness or selfishness, which was my case, and wanting what we want. I wanted what I wanted, and coming to a place where we can absolutely surrender everything, because sometimes we say, I surrender. Okay, Lord, you win. I surrender. But we hold things back, like unforgiveness or anger. And where there's unforgiveness for whatever reason, and I held on to unforgiveness for a long time. Unforgiveness, because I was angry. I held on to the anger. Couldn't let go of it. I said many times, I forgive. And I said many times, okay, let go of the anger. But it was still there. It was still there in my heart. It came back to me over and over again. I had the memories that I hung on to and repeated. I was not letting go of it. And didn't understand why. And so that's prideful, but I couldn't see that. It's selfish, but I could not see that. And so I was angry, and finally someone said to me, a lot of things happened on this trip. I went with lots of questions that I was asking the Lord. But at one point, when I told someone, I was angry with the Lord. That was a big problem, and I had been for all my life for certain things I was asking for. He's answered many prayers, but there was something I was asking for. I wanted Him to do for me that He didn't do. And I knew that He did it for others, and I wanted Him to do the same for me. Someone asked me, can you put your finger on the reason for the anger, or what you're angry about, or who you're angry with? And without thinking, I said, yes, I'm angry with the Lord. I've been angry with the Lord all my life. And why? Because I was asking Him to heal me. And He kept telling me, my grace is sufficient for you. But I didn't want to hear that. I couldn't receive that. I couldn't accept it, because I wanted Him to heal me. And again, I thought, He's healed others. You healed others. You've healed so many others, Lord. Why not me? But again, He kept saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And of course, I'm not sharing all of the details, but I want to make this point that someone has been telling me, just as the Lord tells us in the Bible, and we hear pastors say often, God has redeemed us. He has healed us. He has redeemed us and made us His children. When we receive Him as Savior, when we ask Him to be our personal Lord and Savior, at the moment we receive salvation, we are redeemed. He makes us children of God, heirs with Christ Jesus, and He makes us righteous in Christ Jesus. He says that we are the righteousness of Christ, so we are righteous. But reading that and hearing it, that didn't register in my brain. It didn't make a difference for me in the past. I could never see myself as righteous. But He took me, the Lord took me, all the way to South Africa, to Johannesburg, to hear from a Pastor Jonathan, who was praying over, laying hands on, praying over my pastor, John Schaefer, and the director of children's ministries, Kevin Dominguez. And he was repeating something that I'd heard before. And in fact, from someone who came into my life just a few months ago, who has continually told me, well, has told me quite a few times, you are the righteousness of Christ. You are righteous. But again, for some reason, I was not receiving that. But here in South Africa, we went to visit this pastor, Jonathan, who has a church which is basically a large tent out in a rural area. He lives in a poverty-stricken area. All his parishioners, his congregation, are very poor people. And as we entered his church, I saw a woman. There was one woman sitting in the middle of the church. Excuse me. She was wearing a red sweater, sitting reading her Bible. There were only a couple of people there, Pastor Jonathan, and then a gentleman who was sitting on the floor working on the wall. He was an electrician. He was sitting on the floor, and I noticed that his shoes were open. He didn't have laces, and he was not wearing socks. He was a young man. Don't remember his name, but Pastor Jonathan introduced him as the electrician. He had a nice tent for his church, and they had begun with a dirt floor, but someone came and volunteered to give them a tile floor. So they had a nice tile floor. Half of it was one color, and about, or maybe two-thirds of it was about one color, and the rest a different color. And the ground, the floor, slanted slightly. It was not completely level. That all of that is not important. But Rose, I stopped to speak to this woman and asked her name. Her name is Rosie. She was reading the Bible, and she was asking the Lord to heal her. If I'm not mistaken, Pastor Jonathan said that she has cancer. But she was just continually reading. From the time we arrived until the time we left, we walked around and had sort of a little tour with Pastor Jonathan. Then we sat, and he was talking to Pastor John, my pastor, and to Kevin. And Pastor John commented that Pastor Jonathan had so much joy, and he lives in very difficult circumstances. And so Pastor John said to him, I could sit under your teaching. So Pastor Jonathan prayed for Pastor John, and then Pastor John said, I will pray for you also. But while he was praying for them, he laid his hands on Pastor John's head and prayed for him, and he did the same over Kevin. So I stood up and took some pictures. I snapped a couple of shots. Then I sat down again to continue in agreement with him in this prayer. And I remember, I couldn't quote, and Pastor John asked later if we remembered exactly what he prayed, and I couldn't quote him. But then when I was giving an account of this at the church on Sunday after we returned from the trip, when Pastor John invited Kevin and I to stand up and talk to the congregation about something that touched us, something we remembered from the trip, I talked about Pastor Jonathan praying over Pastor John and Kevin. And as I said, as I was standing there, actually in my mind, I thought, Lord, is he going to pray over me also? I was feeling jealous. And so I sat down and closed my eyes, and he surprised me by laying his hand on my head and praying over me as well. And I do remember that he talked about the joy that Pastor John had mentioned. He prayed that we would be full of joy, that we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we would be blessed to carry on the Lord's work here. And as he said here, I don't know if he meant in Johannesburg or if he meant here on this earth, probably here on this earth, but he prayed for all of us that we would do that. He also talked about the grace of God, and I started my show talking about the grace and mercy of God, the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16. He also said that we were redeemed by God. He talked about Jesus' work on the cross. He talked about our inheritance in Christ Jesus. He talked about the fact that God has redeemed us and he has made us righteous in Christ Jesus. He said that we are the righteousness of Christ. And for some reason that had more impact on me there at that moment than at any other time when I heard that. When this pastor, Pastor Jonathan, was talking about the fact that we are righteous in Christ Jesus, that God sees us as righteous. you know, I something happened there. Just being there in that environment with all of those people, there was something else, other things that happened that are very personal, that triggered memories of me from childhood and my teenage years, many things that happened. And just being on the church compound, it was like going back home to a place where I grew up. There were so many similarities. but anyway, what a great impact his prayer had on me. It was as though the light switch, you know, came on, flicked, the light came on, something fell off, a burden fell off my heart. And he was praying that we would be filled with joy, of course, the joy of the Lord. And I came away with such a feeling of being relieved. And it ties into so much that has been going on in my life, because the Lord has been dealing with me on many, many levels about unforgiveness, anger, holding on to anger, unforgiveness, and feeling like I had a right for satisfaction. But Jesus didn't hold on to that. He forgave us for everything in the work that he did on the cross. He lived and suffered and died for us. He even forgave the people who crucified him. And so he was really dealing with me and my heart about unforgiveness, letting go of unforgiveness and the anger that made me feel entitled. I was holding on to it, even though I didn't understand why. And that can be very confusing. And I'm sure that there must be other people who feel the same way. Sometimes you just really want to hold on to the anger. Sometimes you just really want to be angry and not give it up. Well, it's time to give it up. And that's what the Lord showed me. He made us the righteousness of Christ. And he tells us in the Bible, that's how he sees us. And he wants us to walk that way, like the righteousness of Christ. When we hold on to the anger and the bitterness, as I realized I was doing, we condemn ourselves. It's not God who condemns us. It's Satan who puts thoughts, negative, evil, contrary thoughts in our minds, just as he did with Adam and Eve when he commented to Eve, did God really say, questioning what God said, poisoning our minds. He's the one who gives us tempting thoughts. I mean, we can have negative or even evil, unholy thoughts even while we're reading the Bible, because Satan is trying to trip us up at every turn, right? And so if we're holding on, if we hold on to unforgiveness and anger, then there's resentment. And at the point where there's resentment, if we're holding resentment in our hearts, if we hold on to the resentment, well, then that's a place where Satan can come in and attack us. Don't you agree?
I do totally agree that that's where it plays. You give him a threshold for him to come in and do his will, because you're living with burdens that should have been cast to Jesus in the first place.
Right. And for whatever reason, it just didn't, I don't know, it didn't penetrate my heart. It didn't click in my brain in the past, because I do have someone who has been telling me that over and over again recently. And, of course, I've heard pastors, even my own pastor, John, preaching about that, teaching about that. We are the righteousness of Christ. God has redeemed us, you know. Satan is the one who condemns us, not God. Don't listen to the things that Satan puts in your minds. You know, we need to tell him to back off whenever he's telling us, you can't do that, whenever he puts the thoughts in your mind. Because I grew up hearing all my life, all my childhood, I heard from someone very close to me, someone who loved me, someone whom I loved, someone who had authority over me and great influence over me, you can't do that, no matter what it was. You can't do that. And so that stuck in my brain. And so when Satan came along, whenever there was something I wanted to do or needed to do, and usually something important, those thoughts came, negative thoughts, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? Whatever. Whether it was for a job, a career, a relationship, whatever. I had those negative thoughts and feelings and insecurities. And all of that comes from Satan, because it's not from God. It's not from the Lord. So it's from Satan. And we sabotage things, you know, with our self-talk. You know, we're told in the Bible, we're told by our pastors, that there are other voices that speak to us, you know, as well as the Lord. There's the voice of the world and the philosophies of men, you know, what everybody else is doing. And then the voice of our own flesh, our own human nature. So if we don't have a close enough relationship with the Lord so that we can hear and know his voice and discern the truth, have wisdom which comes from God by having faith in him, by receiving him as our Lord and Savior by faith, because we're saved by grace through faith, the grace of God, because salvation is a free gift from God, trusting in him by faith in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he is God. If we don't have that and develop our personal intimate relationship with him, the other voices can come in and trip us up. We can make wrong choices even when we're trying to make the right ones, because we can be so confused. But then the confusion is there because of Satan. God is not the author of confusion. The enemy, Satan, is the one who brings confusion to our minds and to our lives. God wants things to be simple and clear. He's a God of order and decency. And we're told that in the Bible, aren't we? And so, but something clicked for me there. And the Lord just took that away from me so that I felt unburdened. Like, you know, I had like a breath of fresh air. A load just fell off of me. And my heart lost a heaviness that I'd been carrying for years. And so with that simple prayer, so the Lord, I said, the Lord took me all the way to South Africa to repeat to me, to confirm to me again, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. You can do what I'm calling you to do. And one thing he called me to do was to go to Africa, and I always said that was the last place in the world that I wanted to go. And honestly, it wasn't because I just wanted to be disobedient to God or because I had anything against Africa or the African people. It wasn't that at all. It was because I had problems that made it difficult for me to travel, and I was not comfortable talking about them. And so I actually said that to a friend many years ago when she went to Africa as a missionary. And I told her she was crazy when she asked me to go. And I said, that's the last place on the face of the earth I want to go. You know, to sit 10 or 12 hours on a flight and then transfer to another flight for the same amount of time sitting in an airplane seat. And I said, no, you're crazy. But look where he called me to go, to South Africa. And so it was a great experience. We went into the city, and we visited a hospital. We visited patients in a hospital and brought the word of the Lord to them. We went to visit, to worship, to sing to them, sing for them, pray with them, and sit and visit with them. And I remember, I cannot remember the name of the hospital, I remember meeting one of the administrators and many of the nurses and caregivers there. But I do remember that it was directly across the street from a Catholic school called St. Catherine's. And someone mentioned to me when I stepped out of the car, look, Catherine, look, St. Catherine's. So I have the picture of that in my mind still, and the picture of the people there. And many of them, the patients, were Alzheimer's patients. And many were just, they just were not themselves and unable to communicate very well. But some were. And it was interesting to see the personalities of people, even those who have Alzheimer's. And, of course, Alzheimer's patients are living in an environment sort of, or a condition where it's sort of like a window opens and closes with them in their minds. And when the window is open, they are themselves, they are alert, in full possession of their faculties, it seems. Their memories are fine because, of course, it's the short-term memory that's affected with Alzheimer's. And so their long-term memories are just fine. And so one of the ladies was, she would stand and clap and sing along with us, and she was just very joyful, very cheerful. But her neighbor was sort of grumpy and would tell her, sit down and be quiet. And these people were probably in their 70s. But this lady was filled with joy. And the Lord tells us, He gives us joy. We can be happy here with people and relationships and money and whatever it is in life that we want that makes us happy. But we can only get joy from knowing the Lord, real joy. And so I was struck with that. I have that picture of this woman standing and just clapping and tapping one foot and singing along with us with a, you know, a cheerful, smiling face, and the other lady telling her to sit down and be quiet. And so we did what we could to help people there. We also visited a preschool and brought food. The church provides a soup kitchen for the people. We visited little children and teenagers there, and some of the parents. All in all, it was a great trip, and we went to encourage our missionaries there. I'm very grateful for the experience, and as a bonus, the Lord unburdened my heart and took away terrible anger that was very painful for me carrying all this time, and helped me to finally forgive and let go of that and to stop feeling like I had a right for payback. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Have you ever been in a position where you felt like that?
I have felt like that. I have felt where my self-will was more sufficient. Yeah, I have. And I found out different.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe God chastens those who need it because He loves them. And I've been corrected along the route to say, hey, you're on the wrong path. And I caught the picture quick. Because that's what I think we all come to that road where we make our own decisions and find our own, lean our own understanding, and that's where we fall. We take up our position and we keep it. Like you say, you had that anger issue, and sometimes we take that position and we keep it and think we're righteous in our belief. We feel that we have a argument here. It has to be addressed, and we should keep it until it is answered. But that's not always the case. You talk about your trip to South Africa. It sounds like you were ministered to. It was awesome. Just hearing you speak right now and talk about all the people you've seen, the establishments you went to. And I think that, you know, sometimes God takes us to humble us to get us in a position where He can talk to us. It has
exactly.
to take us out of our realm for that to happen. Because sometimes we're stuck in our realm. We won't listen to anything or anybody until He breaks us.
Yes, and we can't find our way out on our own. And sometimes
Absolutely.
We just don't understand why. And so, but that healing that I wanted to talk about, spiritual healing, that takes place in the spiritual realm, in the
Absolutely.
Kingdom of heaven. And so now I know that the Lord still heals today, physically as well as spiritually. And so you were talking about faith earlier. We have to have faith. He tells us, you know, that when we come to Him to ask for something, we need to ask in faith, believing and trusting in Him. If we don't have faith, that means we're not trusting Him. We're not really believing. And we don't have to have 100% faith. He tells us that faith as big as a grain of mustard seed is big enough. As that man in the Bible who came asking Jesus to heal his son, and the Lord said that takes great faith, it takes faith, and the man said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said, I believe, He told Jesus, I believe, forgive me for my unbelief. He believed. He had some skepticism, though. He confessed that he had some doubt, but he did believe. That's why he was asking Jesus to heal his son.
Right.
So he tells us to come in faith and ask for what we need and believe that he can do it and believe that he will answer us. And many times he said that to people in the Bible. The woman who came to Jesus in a crowd, the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she believed that Jesus could heal her. She believed in her heart that even if she just touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. Now that's faith.
Yes.
And so Jesus knew that someone had touched him. Apparently he felt power leave him or whatever. That's not totally explained there. But he told her that her faith, because of her faith, she was healed. He says that many times, and that we can't please God without faith. That's all about faith. And praying is speaking to God and having faith that he will answer. It's actually two-way communication. So if we're praying to him, we need to believe that he's going to answer and wait for him to answer. And even faith comes from him. So when we receive him as Savior, he gives us faith. He gives wisdom too. He says, ask and he'll give. And he knows exactly what we want. So if we pray and we don't expect an answer, well, that's not faith. We're not believing, right?
Correct.
And over and over again, we need to fill our minds with his word for encouragement. And to build our faith. And we need to watch for him working in our lives. We need to watch, as they say, or as, you know, watch for the hand of God working in your life. If you're praying for something, waiting on something, we need to believe that it's going to happen and wait for him to act, because he doesn't always answer instantaneously. He works here in the physical realm to answer our prayers. He can do things supernaturally as well. But he tells us that we are the hands and his hands and feet here in the world, right? So he uses people to help other people. And he orchestrates, arranges situations to answer our prayers. And so all of those things can take time here for him to get everything just right to bring about the situation that we need to remedy the problem that we're asking him to correct. And I want to read something from Ephesians tonight. There's so much in here that the Lord tells us about, you know, how we are redeemed in Christ Jesus, and that we are the righteousness of Christ. And he talks about his grace and his kindness toward us. So I'd like to read something from Ephesians 1 and 2. There is so much to choose from. But I think that's where I want to read here. And I'd like to ask you to say a prayer at the end. Would you like to say the prayer to ask, to invite people to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior after I finish the reading?
I'd be more than happy to.
Okay, wonderful. So I'll leave that to you. And then I'm going to read along here. And I will start here in Ephesians 1 and 2. And yes, I want to do that. I was going to take just a few scriptures from one chapter and go to another, but I'll read both. We've got about 9 minutes left, so let's see how far I can get, and then I'll be happy to have you say that prayer before we close. How's that? And we'll try to close with a song if there's time. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good, Catherine.
Right. So here, I'm going to begin in Ephesians chapter 1, and so let me say a short prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to please empty us of ourselves here and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, with your love, your peace, and your joy, as Pastor Jonathan prayed, and as Pastor John Schaefer prayed so often, Pastor Charles Stanley, and so many others ask you, Lord, to please fill us to overflowing with your joy, your love, your peace, and your joy, and your Holy Spirit, so that there is no place left in us so that we cannot give place to the devil. Please enlighten our minds and illuminate your word to us. Help us understand your Holy Scriptures, Lord, and apply them to our lives today and always, Lord. We give you thanks and praise, Father. Amen. And so here I'm reading from the New King James, and beginning in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now I'm at verse 7. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you have sealed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And I'm going to read the first part of chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. The first part, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive. I'll repeat the last two verses of 1 and go on to 2. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And now chapter 2 of Hebrews. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Over and over again, he tells us that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And for anyone who has not received the Lord, I hope that you will soon come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I invite you now, Chad, to say a short, very short prayer to end the show. We're about to end. Would you invite people very briefly to pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? And I thank you, and may God bless you.
Thank you. Dear Father God, we pray right now that these words that were spoken by Catherine from your word, that they fulfill the hearts and minds and bodies and souls, those who are listening who are not believers, Father God, and that through these words that they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that you are the true Lord and Savior, and that all things run through you, and that you give eternal life. We thank you and ask that you just right now, just put your hand upon those who are asking for you, and bless them, Father God, and see them through, and make them children of your kingdom, daughters and sons. We thank you so much, Father God, and pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen, Lord Jesus. And all you have to do is confess your sins, repent of them, and ask God to forgive you, and believe in your heart that he died on the cross and paid the debt for your sins and rose again to give us the hope of eternal life. He says, repent, call in the name of Jesus, follow him and be saved, and join a church that teaches the word of God directly from the Bible, be in fellowship with other believers, pray to the Lord every day, read his word, and do what he says. And may you be blessed and receive the Lord and tell others about Jesus. That's why we're here. Until next time, may you know, come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to the Sword and Shield Show. I hope you join in again on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Thank you, and may God bless you. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.